The socialist government of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro on Monday introduced a new currency called the Sovereign Bolivar, slashing 5 zeros from current prices. The measure, in response to hyperinflation, which soared 80,000% this year, leaving Venezuelans carrying around stacks of worthless bills.
Today, in Palau, empty restaurants and idle tour boats are the new normal. And it's all because of this tiny archipelago's diplomatic recognition of Taiwan, which Beijing calls a rogue province. Before the ban, Chinese visitors made up about half of Palau's annual tourist draw. And Palau's president says tourism's crucial for the country's development.
Skepticism on Wall Street mounting Monday over whether Tesla and its CEO Elon Musk can really take the company private. In a note to clients, JP Morgan Chase says it doesn't believe Musk had the funds needed to do so. The brokerage had boosted its price target to $308 immediately following Musk's tweet about taking the company private, but now it's bringing it back to where it was before, setting it at $195.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's August 21st, and it's 5:11 in the morning. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We've got a good broadcast for you today. Claire Bushy is here today from Crane Chicago Business. You've heard about a commercial driver's shortage. It is impacting bus drivers, and just as we head back to school, we're going to find out how this is affecting the Chicago area. And a little bit later in the program, Marilyn Bird's going to be here from Robert Half. We're going to be talking about work-life balance and how Chicago ranks pretty high for that for professionals. That'll be coming up in our second segment this morning at about 5:40. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Futures are pointing toward another positive open on Wall Street this morning, up about 63 points or 0.25% on the Dow, up more than 0.25% on the S&P and NASDAQ. Around the globe this morning, markets are generally negative in London, Germany, and in France, so generally negative in Europe this morning, off about a third of a point in London and off about 0.5% in Germany. Markets this morning in Asia are mixed as well, with the Nikkei going to end the day up just a fraction. The Hang Seng is going to be up about 0.5%, but a couple of the other markets, including the Asian Dow, are lower this morning. And oil is trading at $66.79 a barrel, which is off about 36 cents. A couple of stories that we're watching for you this morning. Microsoft says it has uncovered a new Russian hacking attempt targeting U.S. political groups ahead of the midterm elections. The company says that the hacking group tied to the Russian government created fake internet domains that appeared to spoof two American conservative organizations, the Hudson Institute and the International Republican Institute. Three other fake domains were designed to look as if they belonged to the U.S. Senate. Microsoft didn't offer any other information about the fake sites. After more than a century behind bars, the animals on boxes of animal crackers are going to roam free. Deerfield-based Mondelez International, the parent company of Nabisco, has redesigned the packaging for its Barnum's animal crackers after relenting to pressure from people for the ethical treatment of animals. The redesign of the boxes, now on store shelves, retains the familiar red and yellow coloring and prominent Barnum's animals lettering, but instead of showing animals in cages, implying that they're traveling in boxcars for the circus, the new boxes features zebras, elephants, lions, giraffes, and gorillas wandering side by side in a grassland. We begin front and center this morning with a shortage of bus drivers around the country. Claire Bushy is here this morning. She is a law and manufacturing reporter at Crane Chicago Business. Claire, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well this morning. We appreciate you being with us. So tell us about this. I mean, we've reported before on the program about the commercial shortage, so truck drivers and the like, but this is impacting kids, taking kids back to school.
Yeah, basically it's sort of part of the same problem. They're wrapped up together. You need a commercial driver's license, and right now there's so much demand for truck drivers who might be, you know, taking goods from coast to coast that they're drawing from the same pool of people who would drive for school buses, and that is making the contractors that work for school districts have to scramble a little.
So how significant is the problem? Is it one of those problems where there may not be bus drivers to fill these open slots this school year?
Well, the companies that I talked to said you never really know until the first day of school, and then you see how things shake out. But it's bad enough that one of the owners of the companies, who has his commercial driver's license, is planning on driving on the first day.
Wow. So when the boss heads out, that you know you're having a serious problem. So what are they doing to try to get some more drivers in the door, or is there anything they can do?
Well, both of them told me that when I wrote my story, I should try to make a plug for people who want to get people to drive school buses. But they are doing large marketing campaigns that they haven't done before. One of them is advertising before movies. They have paid for billboards, social media. Really, they're trying to do the full court press, including signing bonuses for drivers and referral bonuses for employees.
I think a lot of folks would probably think, school bus driver, that's a lot of screaming kids in back of me. Maybe even think about the bus driver from The Simpsons. It is probably a rewarding job for those people who get into it, but what do they say to the critics that say, well, this is probably not the best job in the world?
They acknowledge that it's a tough job. It is a split shift. You're driving in the morning, and then you're off, and then you're driving again in the afternoon. You do have screaming children behind you, and it's not paid that much. It's even though wages have risen over the past 4 years, the median hourly wage is still $16 an hour. And between that and not getting paid when school's out of session, the annual pay is only $33,000. So they know that they have a tough road to hoe when they are trying to find drivers.
Claire, hang on with us. We're going to continue this conversation with Claire Bushey from Crane's Chicago Business. We're going to talk more about what the marketing looks like for this, where the geographically problems are worse, and more about this bus driver shortage coming up on the opening bell.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, the Dow Jones was on the brink of emerging from correction territory for the first time in more than 6 months, but fell 130 points shy of that mark yesterday. The Dow finished Monday 89 points higher at 25,758. The S&P 500 picked up 7 points. The NASDAQ gained 4.5. This might be a good year for retailers after all. The Commerce Department says overall retail sales were up nearly 6.5% in July. Experts say that if consumers are willing to spend in the summertime, they might do the same at the holidays. The ups and downs of Tesla now reportedly have some of its contractors worried. The Wall Street Journal says some small suppliers are claiming they haven't been paid. Others say the carmaker has been trying to stretch out payments or asking for cash back. Apple may be planning to roll out a pair of new computers later this year. Bloomberg says they include a new low-cost laptop that will look similar to the current MacBook Air. Also an upgrade to the Mac Mini desktop. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with Claire Bushey from Crane's Chicago Business. We're talking about a bus driver's shortage. Claire, before the break, we were talking about how significant this problem was. You mentioned that some of these companies have already put forward pay raises. I know there was a part of your story, you mentioned the survey back in 2016 indicating this was becoming a problem. Have these companies been too slow in raising pay and working on retention to maybe take some of the blame here?
Well, that's a good point. Wages have risen 17% since 2013. And those are median wages. That doesn't mean every company has done it. And yes, you can always find people to work for you if you are willing to dramatically increase your labor costs. So a little bit, whether or not you can find people, depends on the choices you have made as a business.
Mm-hmm. Is the problem geographically different in the country? So is like one part of the country doing better than another, or does this shortage stretch across all geographic boundaries?
It is stretched across the country. National Express, which is a huge company based in the United Kingdom but has its school bus operations in Warrenville, they've actually seen a hit to their operating margins because they have had to increase wages for drivers 5% in the United States and Canada in 2017. So the pain is spread broadly because the underlying problem of needing more drivers and losing them to the commercial trucking industry, that is spread broadly.
How does the funding all of this work? I sit and think about this. This is not like a situation where you can charge each of the kids more to get on the bus. Don't most of these companies, they have contracts with the school districts, so that eventually comes back to all of us who are taxpayers if they want to raise fees and stuff, right?
Absolutely. Some of the companies have been able to pass along their increased labor costs to the school districts that they have contracts with. It varies in how much. However, ultimately, they are going to either have to absorb the costs or they are going to pass them to the school districts. And if they are passed to the districts, then ultimately they are going to be paid for by taxpayers. And that's us.
Mm-hmm. So as we wrap things up here, let's talk about who the perfect candidate might be for a bus driver's job. Have any of these companies told you who that would be?
I think they'll really take a lot of people at this point. However, they're not going to compromise on safety. They were very clear about that. However, one gentleman told me that he just trained an 80-year-old woman, and she just got her commercial driver's license. So it can be a job for a lot of different kinds of people.
Yeah. We can read more about this in your story. Were there any other points that you want to make sure we get from this story?
I just think that it's a good point that you raised earlier, which is that when you raise wages, you can have your pick of the labor pool. And so companies that are looking to hire workers, the best thing that they should do is really look at what they are paying people.
Claire, we appreciate you getting up and being with us this morning, and we will direct people to your story, and we always enjoy reading you at Crane Chicago Business.
Thank you so much.
All right, Claire Bushey is a law and manufacturing reporter at Crane Chicago Business. You can find them at chicagobusiness.com.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by chicagoinno.com. Earlier this month, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio signed a law capping the number of new ride-sharing vehicles in the city, and some Chicago aldermen want the Windy City to follow suit. Two Chicago aldermen are considering a proposal that would limit the number of Uber and Lyft vehicles on city streets. The number of rideshare vehicles in Chicago has grown to almost 66,000. Glossier, a New York-based e-commerce cosmetic startup that's raised more than $86 million, is opening a pop-up retail shop in the West Loop this week. The pop-up officially opens Thursday and will be open until October 28th. Visitors will be able to try and test Glossier's full product line. And Promise, a Chicago-based high-protein hummus startup, will compete in the WeWork Creator Awards in Nashville in September. The startup will be one of 10 companies pitching a panel of judges, which includes Ashton Kutcher and Florida Georgia Line. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. The question was asked, are professionals living to work or working to live? The answers come from the global staffing firm Robert Half, a survey they conducted from employees all across the country. We're happy to have with us Marilyn Bird, who's the district president at Robert Half, with us back here on The Opening Bell. Marilyn, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Steve. Good to talk to you again.
Lovely having you. This is an interesting story, but before we get into the numbers of this, when we talk about work-life balance, what are we talking about?
I think the best way I can define it is flexibility. This topic keeps coming up in almost every professional article or trend. Flexibility to balance your work and your life priorities, having control over that schedule, and what that means is different for everyone. But I think flexibility is our best way to look at it.
Yeah, because when I think of that, I think of a couple of things. One, do I have enough free time or off time to celebrate my life? Others might think, well, do I have enough time to take care of my family, take care of those responsibilities if I have to leave work, that sort of thing. Probably mm-hmm. both are covered by that, right?
Yes. Like I said, I think it's different for everyone. At the same time, the element of having a choice or some control over it is really what we're talking about.
So what did you ask folks? How many people did you talk to, and what were their responses?
This particular survey really decided to dig into how employees feel that they are managing work-life balance. They were scored on what the rating overall, you know, how they feel about their particular work-life balance. Is it good? Is it poor? Is it excellent? It also looked at if it was different based on gender. It also looked if they thought it was improving or not improving over the last few years.
And so what were the highlights? What were the takeaways from this? What did you find?
Well, you know what? Good news for Chicago. According to this survey, at least, Chicago employees gave their city and their employers the highest marks out of 28 different cities and markets for work-life balance. They also indicated that it's improving. They feel like it's really improved over the last 3 years and that it's still very much a priority, whether female, male, and really any age group.
Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, Miami, New York, San Francisco all scored the highest marks. As many as three-quarters of people, of the employees, said that they had achieved that work-life balance, good or excellent.
Exactly. And it didn't really get into the details, you know, what their reasoning was. Like many surveys, it's more about the overall points, and then it really allows you to have discussion. But I think there's a number of things going into, you know, why Chicago may be towards the top of that list.
What would you say is that, if you had to guess what's happening in not only Chicago, but some of these other cities that's not happening elsewhere?
I think employers are really paying attention. You know, as we've talked, this topic continues to come up. I think Chicago and some of the other bigger cities that are listed on there are obviously paying attention to the employee market. If you want to retain people, you know, at your business, if you want to attract more people and meet your business goals, you have to have some modification for work-life balance. People are talking about it. People are prioritizing it. And I think it's a general realization that people that are happier, feel more in control of some of their life choices, are going to be a more productive workforce. And Chicago is paying attention, and obviously it's getting better, and they've made modifications to the work environment to allow for this to happen.
Nashville, Denver, Atlanta, Cincinnati, San Diego, and Raleigh reported the most dissatisfaction in their work-life balance. Are they doing just the opposite of what we're doing?
I can only assume. You know, the survey doesn't get into the specific details, but I can only assume that employees in those markets don't feel that they have as much control over the flexibility of their work environment. You know what I think it really comes down to, Steve, is it's not so much where or when professionals do the work. It's really about the performance. So I think as employees start to get more opportunity to determine where and when, they really have a sense of work-life balance, and that's very, very important to them.
Yeah, that feels right when you say that. You mentioned earlier, and the survey highlights this, that it's getting better. Nearly 43%, regardless of where they were at, say they think it's getting better compared to 3 years ago. What's improving? What did they tell you that they, or if they did, what is improving in their minds?
You know, conversations just like this, I think, are really helping. It's definitely being talked about more in the work environment. It's definitely being surveyed. I also think it's becoming much more of a trend for companies to realize, what do we need to do to attract employees? What do we need to do to retain our employees? The job market has been increasingly difficult to find good talent. you know, over the last few years, employers are paying attention to everything and anything that they can so that they can attract and keep good people.
And you mentioned that, and I have to think this must be becoming a really good time for employees across the country, because as the job market gets tighter, you're going to get paid more. But also, this just exactly what we're talking about. Companies are going to try to find ways to make us all happy.
I think they have to. If they want to survive, they really have to. And it's really evolved. You know, I think if you look back a few years, if you're anything like me, you thought about work-life balance. Maybe we only thought about that in the realm of families trying to manage children and the demands of those schedules. And quite frankly, in the last few years, it's really evolved into every level, all types of families and individuals and professionals, and it really just becomes about planned and unplanned things that people want to accomplish during the work week. And that encompasses the entire workforce, and I think that's why the conversation has become so important and employers are paying attention.
Marilyn, I was struck by one of the questions that was asked here, and that is, who is responsible ultimately for this work-life balance? Is it the employee or the employer? What did you find there?
Well, it's interesting. The employees more frequently thought it was a company's responsibility, whereas employers more frequently thought it was a candidate's responsibility. And it's something that, you know, really deserves discussion, because the ideal outcome is going to require both making it a priority, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Any other highlights here from this report? Any other takeaways?
I think the other, you know, takeaway here is really about people that maybe haven't put as much emphasis on this topic. Maybe this is a good way to get the conversation started in your own environment. You know, I think work-life balance is defined for us now. I think it's one of those topics that people can treat like any other career goal. It really requires you to define it. What does it mean to you? And that can be different for everyone. How do you track it? Have you had the conversation with your employer? If you don't have any ideas, they may have some ideas, but ultimately it's something that a professional wants to have as part of their career, make adjustments so that it really can help their overall satisfaction and their employee experience.
That's an interesting one of those is going and talking to your employer. Do you have any advice about how that conversation might go?
I think the biggest thing is to have a conversation with yourself beforehand. You know, what I was saying earlier is define it. What does it mean to you? It's so different for everyone. And what are you trying to accomplish? Is it to accommodate planned types of experiences outside of your work, whether it's volunteer experiences, maybe an exercise routine, or are you trying to accommodate unplanned things like taking care of children and unexpected school occurrences, or maybe an older parent and you need to take some time for doctor appointments? Any of those things are different for everyone involved, and I think you have to figure out, what am I trying to accomplish? And then you need to go and prepare a conversation to say, what can be accommodated? What tools are available in this particular environment? What can be my options? And then get a plan so that it's fully communicated on both sides. It then has a higher likelihood of working out for both the employee and the employer.
What impact do you think surveys and research like this has on companies who are maybe considering coming to one of these cities? I mention that because obviously here in Chicago, we're all waiting with bated breath to see if Amazon selects us for headquarters too. Is this an important research for companies as they look around the country for locations?
You know what? It's an important topic for companies that are trying to attract talent anywhere. Like we said, it's getting harder and harder, right? So anything employers can do that substantiates that their work environment is attractive, accommodating, a place that a person can stay and build a career for a long time, is only going to be an advantage now and in the future.
Marilyn, it's always good chatting with you, and this is some good information. Thanks for being here with us this morning.
Thanks again, Steve.
Marilyn Bird, District President at Robert Half. It's the global staffing firm, Robert Half, and you can find them online at roberthalf.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening gains later this morning on Wall Street. Dow futures are up 60 points. NASDAQ futures are up almost 21 points. S&P futures are up about 0.25%. Gold is trading higher at $1,200 an ounce, $6.10 higher than a previous report. And silver is also trading higher this morning. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The export market played a role in the grain market here again yesterday. Wheat futures down 3%. The reason? Expectations of a pickup in Russian wheat exports in the next few months. And, of course, Russia is the biggest wheat exporter in the world. The December wheat contract on the Board of Trade down 17 and a quarter cents. December corn also ended lower for the day, down 2 and a quarter cents. But November soybeans ended higher, barely, up 0.5 cent for the day. Livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Hog futures down more than 3% on profit-taking after registering that 14% rally last week. And CME Group live cattle futures fell in response to a lower cash cattle trade late last week and also the spillover weakness from hogs. And, of course, eyes will be watching that low-level round of trade talks between China and the United States starting tomorrow in Washington, D.C. And let me end with a story that I love. Pendleton, Oregon, a lamb named Henry brought $162 a pound at an Oregon auction where lambs generally were selling for $7 a pound. But the reason? The lamb was shown by Maddie Thomas, an 11-year-old who was diagnosed with a brain tumor last year. And the $23,200 will help her family cover continuing medical expenses. A great story. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, August the 21st. Not a lot in the way of economic reports today. We'll get a look at the Red Book. That will give us a sense of how chain stores are doing. It measures comparable store sales at those chain stores, discount stores and department stores. So we'll see exactly how much consumers are spending in those places. As you know, consumer spending accounts for about 2/3 of the economy. It's also another big day for earnings. J.M. Smucker, Toll Brothers, Kohl's, and TJX out of the box today. Tomorrow we look forward to Target, Lowe's, L Brands. Thursday, Alibaba, HP, Ross Stores, and Gap. We'll also see the tariffs go into effect on nearly 279 Chinese products. And Friday, we'll get a look at Foot Locker earnings and Federal Reserve Jerome Powell. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell will speak at the Economic Policy Symposium in Jackson Hole. Just some of the things that could move the markets as we move through the rest of this week.